Well, good afternoon, PBC family. Hope you are doing well. Our devotional for this week is actually a reflection on certain events that are happening and how we as Christians should respond. And so our topic for today is a Christian response to Black Lives Matter. And I will say a bunch of what I am saying was helped form by a helpful article that Albert Mohler wrote on his lecture called The Briefing. So I'll include a link here in the email that I send out and in the description on YouTube here where you can access that to get a lot fuller in-depth response. But I want to sum up some of those things and then some of my own thoughts as well as we consider these things. And I want to say this devotional is probably going to be a little bit longer than our typical one, but it's also required that you listen to the whole thing because it's all going to be very important. Don't hear just part of it and then think you've heard it all. No, listen to the whole thing. Very important. So let's dive in. A Christian response to Black Lives Matter. When you think of Black Lives Matter, that phrase, what comes to mind? How do you react to it? You know, last few weeks, we saw many companies and people who are quick to support that, quick to black out their profiles, quick to add the hashtag. But what all is really involved? We as Christians have the responsibility to check into what is really being said before we just attach our name to something. We need to evaluate this and understand how should we respond. Those who are biblically informed, how should we respond? I'll admit this takes diligence. It takes carefulness. It takes being precise, and that is work. But this is something we should do as Christians. This is a phrase, a sentence, which we look at, Black Lives Matter. That is absolutely true. Absolutely true. Black lives do, in fact, matter. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. All men are made in the image of God and are equal. So as this sentence in and of itself, this phrase, Black Lives Matter, we can affirm that. Black lives do indeed matter. They matter because they're made in the image of God. But it's often been met with the rebuttal of all lives matter. Well, that's absolutely true as well. It's often been met with the rebuttal, well, police lives matter, which is also very true. All are made in the image of God. However, when it comes up in conversation to our Black brothers and sisters and they say this, they say Black Lives Matter, and they're met with that, it comes up as if we're trying to silence their voice, that we're rejecting it. So Black lives indeed do matter. They are human lives that are made in the image of God and should be treated as such. As Christians informed by the scriptures, we must and should want to affirm that truth of that sentence. As Christians, we want to be sympathetic. We want to show compassion. We want to have care for those who are oppressed. We want to weep with those who weep. We are to respond in love. But what does that look like? How are we to respond? And is it proper to just take up this phrase? You know, I have friends who've been caught up in this movement who are good Christian brothers and sisters, those who I know well, because they want to affirm that truth of the statement, Black lives do indeed matter. They want to be against racism, which is notable. Now, on a side note, I will say this. Racism is a cultural construct. We are all one race, the human race, our father being Adam. Yet being all of one race, we do have different ethnicities. And with that understanding and our biblical understanding of made in the image of God, we need to affirm and be against that there is one ethnicity that is superior over another. We're all created and equal in the image of God. And in this sense, we want to be against, for lack of a better word, racism. So it's not wrong to say merely as a sentence, Black Lives Matter. Albert Mohler says this, it's not wrong in a particular moral and historical context to say something emphatically directed as the words Black Lives Matter, as a sentence would make clear. Now, given our historical context as Americans, this is important. It's helpful in clarifying. Mohler adds, we're talking about a very real, urgent moral concerns about the lives and the well-being of Black Americans in our midst. It can't be wrong to say in that context, Black Lives Matter as a sentence. So in this sense, we can say it's notable for those who want to take up that cause. They want to be against racism, and rightfully so. And so I have some understanding for my brothers and sisters who go on to use this phrase. To say black lives do not matter would then go against scripture. It's to say something as we as Christians simply cannot say. We must affirm the truth of the sentence. However, we as Christians need to be very careful and to look at what is really being said. The sentence alone is truth. Black lives do matter. And they should be treated as such. They should be treated as equals. But is that all that is being communicated? Is there other baggage that is incorporated with that phrase when it is used? Now, while this sentence in and of itself is true, it's naive to think that's all that's being said, given our context and the day in which it's said. With all that is happening, there is much more that is lumped into this phrase. While we as Christians need to be charitable, it still demands that we study the issue to really understand the message being communicated in the phrase and what it actually means and what it is behind it. And I fear far too many are affirming the phrase quickly without an understanding of actually what is being said. So we must seek to understand. In fact, Scripture commands this for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. But test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of this world, and not according to Christ. So it takes diligence. It takes carefulness. Lamentations 3:40, let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. So just because the current culture is raging in one direction doesn't mean Christians just jump in and go with the flow. Just because it's popular today or others might think better of you if you affirm this phrase doesn't mean Christians just dive right in without first checking into it and rightfully understanding it. So we need to understand what is really being said with this sentence, Black Lives Matter. How is it being used today? This sentence, Black Lives Matter, has been the rally cry, but it's not merely just the truth we mentioned earlier. It has become much more than that. It is a movement that is impacting our nation and thus impacting our church. It's not just a sentence anymore. But it incorporates a certain agenda. It incorporates a specific worldview. It has become a very powerful, popular voice, especially in the political arena. The worldview of Black Lives Matter is much more than the slogan. It's much more than the sentence. As we said, we all believe Black Lives Matter. But when we use that phrase without clarification, it can be assumed we're affirming that entire worldview or political agenda of that organization. So to study what is really being said, we need to do that, not by assuming our own presuppositions. We're to let them speak. We're to listen to what is really being said. In fact, the organization, Black Lives Matter, has actually made very clear what is being said by posting on their website for everyone to see at blacklivesmatter.com. So we need to take them at their word. We need to listen. We need to read what they say and believe what they say is what they actually are trying to affirm. Let them speak for themselves. Let them speak for what their own agenda is as an organization. And let them define what they mean when they use that phrase. So what are they promoting? How do they see justice happening? What is their agenda? These days, to hold to Black Lives Matter incorporates not just the phrase, but their worldview and their agenda. For them, black is not merely a skin color, but a worldview. And to support this worldview, to support the phrase, is to support the worldview for them. So let's look at that. If you go to their website and you actually click on their belief statement, you will see following beliefs. And it starts off, we're not going to go through all of them because to do so is not the purpose of this. We're going to look at a few. If you want to look at that, go to their website. It's all there. It says these beliefs are the result of a collective effort. Black Lives Matter Global Network is as powerful as it is because of our membership and partners and supporters, our staff and you. Our continued commitment to liberation for all Black people means we are continuing to work of our ancestors and fighting for our collective freedom because it's our duty. It goes on to say, we work vigorously for freedom and justice for Black people, by extension, all people. Okay, so in and of itself, that's a sentence that's not bad. We can say, okay, yeah, we're for freedom, we're for justice. We intentionally build and nurture a beloved community that is bound together through a beautiful struggle that is restorative, not depleting. So the thing that binds them isn't a commonality of the Christian faith. What binds them is the struggle. If there's no struggle, is there no binding then? It goes on to say, we are guided by the fact that all Black lives matter, regardless of actual perceived sexual identity, gender expression, economic status, ability, disability, religious beliefs or disbeliefs, immigration status or location. So what we're going to go on to see is what trumps everything is the idea of Black Lives Matter. When it comes to religious beliefs, what Scripture has to say really isn't the authority there for them. It's that Black Lives Matter. That's the ultimate authority. They go on, we make space for transgender brothers and sisters to participate and lead. So you can see there's start of this effort to unite other communities who are thought to be oppressed, needing justice. It says, we are self-reflexive and do the work required to dismantle cisgender privilege and uplift Black trans folk, especially Black trans women who continue to be disproportionately impacted by trans antagonistic violence. It also says, we build a space that affirms Black women and is free from sexism, misogyny, and environments in which men are centered. So all environments in which men are centered, they're against. And then it says this. This is a particular statement that I find concerning from a biblical standpoint. We make spaces family friendly and enable parents to fully participate with their children. First, that's pretty good. Second, we dismantle the patriarchal practice that requires mothers to work double shifts so that they can mother in private even as they participate in public justice work. Okay, first, just the idea, we dismantle the patriarchal practice. In that understanding, it's saying the men-centered practice, where the men lead practice, okay? But notice this next statement. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure required by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. So for them, the nuclear family, the patriarchal understanding, and I know, I understand when we use the phrase patriarchal, there's a whole lot of baggage even with just that phrase. But if we understand it on its most basic terms, the biblical teaching of complementarianism, the complementary roles in the family, we understand they're very much against that. If you hold to this, you're abolishing the biblical views of the family. You're abolishing the traditional structures that are built around the family. And the assumption is the nuclear family, where the father leads and you have the mother and the children, that's seen as something that's Western, that's white, that's patriarchal invention that needs to be overthrown. But we who know Scripture, we understand God has roles like that, in which there's a father who's above the mother and the children are subordinate to them, but they all work in harmony with one another. They go on and say, we foster a queer-affirming network, and we gather, and when we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking, or rather the belief that all in the world are heterosexual, unless he or she or they disclose otherwise. In other words, the nuclear family model, the role of a father, mother, child that we see in Scripture, in other words, heterosexual ideas, they want to dismantle. They go on to say, we cultivate an intergenerational and communal network free from ageism. We believe that all people, regardless of age, show up with a capacity to lead and learn. We embody and practice justice, liberation, and peace in our engagements with one another. Now, the last one, it's not a bad statement, but those other ones, how are we to respond to that? We as Christians need to understand and make clear distinction and clarification between the sentence, the phrase, and the political movement that is happening. We can affirm and sympathize with the sentence, but the organization and what and how they are demanding, we need to be very careful on how we join hands with that. We are against racism. We are against that kind of thinking, but not in a way that dismantles our faith. As we have seen it, this is a very liberal and anti-Christian agenda. It wants to dismantle those things. So as Christians, we need to understand and make a clear distinction between the sentence and the organization political movement. We can affirm and sympathize, yes, as we said, but the organization and what they're demanding, we should be very careful. There has been also kind of this idea of, well, if you don't buy into this, if you're not marching with us and standing with us, then you must be a racist and you're against us. And these days it has been shown, well, you need to bow your knee. You need to repent of your certain whiteness or whatever that is. The knock on, why are you not doing these things? Are you really not for us? Are you a racist? As we zoom out and just think, what's going on here? We know ultimately that the problem traces down to sin. The problem traces down to sin. We are all sinners and people have offended people. But it's the gospel that breaks down and unites people. It's the gospel that we need to be about. And it's one thing to just say, you can't just be preaching the gospel. You need to go out and do something. Yeah, but go out and do something that's discerning and not dismantling your faith by standing aside with people who have a certain agenda that goes against what is biblically right. So this is also a movement. And if you do your research, you'll find they're actually very critical of the previous civil rights movement, especially the leaders who did that. And if there is as if to say they didn't really do enough. What Martin Luther King called for was for Americans to live up to their national compact, to say, hey, this is what is said here. Treat us as equals. Treat us as equals. But the Black Lives Matter movement isn't doing that. What they're doing is calling for revolution, rejecting the American culture and replacing it with another thing. And so it's not just a slogan anymore. It's not just a sentence. It's much more than that. So how do we respond? As we said, we need to evaluate these things carefully by the scriptures. We've understand that this is not just a sentence. This is much more. Albert Mohler said, we can affirm the sentence enthusiastically, but the sentence is no longer than just a sentence. It is a platform, a movement. It is a message, and that platform has shown there are many things that are antithetical to Christianity. So in our current day, and how things are, by using that sentence, you cannot separate the sentence, the slogan, from the actual organization, movement, and their agenda. Therefore, we as Christians should be very careful on how we use it. What are you communicating when maybe you naively use the hashtag? What are you communicating when you black out your profile? What are you communicating when you kneel before Black Lives Matter protesters? Because, yeah, you want to affirm we're against racism. But by using the sentence, as we said, it's much more than that. This is a movement, and it's antithetical to the Christian faith. People, you know, we want to show we're not racist. But it's not simply by taking that word or the phrase and doing that. With that comes a lot more baggage. So we need to be very careful with how we speak. We need to also react to our Black brothers and sisters and listen to what they're saying. Don't just assume. Don't just throw it out. But listen. One person said this in light of reaching out, crossing barriers. The greatest gathering of diversity and love will be in glory. when people from every tribe, tongue, and nation will gather with one focus to worship the Lord God Almighty, when there is no longer sin. This is what we'll look like: white, black, brown, and every skin color conceivable, all enjoying each other and God together. That's beautiful. That is what the universal church is. That is the bride of Christ. And so understand, we have black brothers and sisters who are Christian brothers and sisters who are struggling with this. We need to be willing to dialogue. We need to be willing to weep with them. We need to listen. We need to be sympathetic. We need to show compassion. We are to respond in love. We need to do that, though, not in a way that accepts that worldview and dismantles what Christianity is all about. We can recognize injustice, but not at the expense of our faith. Understand, it is the gospel that brings the reconciliation. That is to what we are to be proclaiming. We have a Savior who knows all about rejection. We have a Savior who knows all about injustice. He suffered in the midst of injustice. He suffered for our sake. He died. He rose again. He ascended. And in the midst of it, He didn't demand justice. He took it upon Himself for our sake. We all need this Savior. And the gospel is that if we believe in Him and trust in Him, He reconciles that which was irreconcilable. And so we all need this Savior, Jesus Christ. He is what brings true reconciliation. Ephesians 2:13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for He Himself is our peace. He has made us both one, and He's broken down in His flesh, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and He might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and He preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who are near." So it is through the gospel that unity comes. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So it's the gospel that brings rest. It's the gospel we proclaim. And when we see that in light of the magnificent universal church of every tribe, tongue, and nation coming together at the end of the age in the presence of the Lamb, when we're all singing with one voice and praising Him, that is going to be a sight to behold. And with that, we preach the gospel indiscriminately for that cause. We want equality. We are against racism, but let us not abandon our Christian beliefs in the process. Colossians 2, starting verse 6, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of this world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority." And it is that Christ we worship, it is that Christ we proclaim, and it's that Christ who unites all, bringing reconciliation. So may we ever preach Christ. May we be willing to communicate. May we be willing to show love, but not at the expense of our Christian beliefs. So I hope this finds you well. If it brings more conversation, I welcome that. And I hope you have a good week. Grace to you.